Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to At Home with Victoria. Now here's your host, Victoria Gaither.
Ladies, I got a little...
You've been listening to At Home with Victoria, an interactive news and entertainment show on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Download us on iTunes as a free podcast and like us on Facebook. I'm Shelley Rand, musician and announcer for At Home with Victoria. Download my CD on iTunes and Amazon and friend me on Facebook.
Okay, guys, so this is what happens when the television journalist doesn't have her producer for the night and decided to give her producer the night off, but it is all good. Again, I want to take the time to welcome all of you to At Home with Victoria. I'm kind of calling tonight Ladies' Night. You know, when we were young and we would go to the clubs and go to parties and it was Ladies' Night and you got $5 off or you only had to pay a couple of dollars to get in. Well, it's free here tonight, and I've got to tell you, ladies, a most amazing woman is going to join us tonight to motivate us, to talk to us about life and life challenges. I had the opportunity to meet Pastor Deborah Evans at an event that my sister church, the Master's Child Church in District Heights, Maryland, put on. It was either last year or earlier part of this year, a program that I emceed for her. And I thought, man, I really, really, really like her, and I think she would be great to come on our show. So we sort of got to talking, and then I realized was that earlier in her life, she wanted to be in the television news business or the communication business and do radio and do television. And I thought, well, clearly you can do that right now. You don't have to wait to do that or go to school to do it. You can do that now, and she speaks all over the place, so I'm just excited that we have her here tonight. In fact, we started talking before the show went on the air and was having a great conversation. So with that said, I finally will introduce you to Pastor Evans. Pastor Evans, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Victoria. It is my honor and pleasure, and it's just like we're connecting like we were when we were at the event.
I know. I was just laughing off the top of the show because I gave my producer the night off, and I was thinking, and you can identify with this, you know, we always need our producers and people that kind of help us. Sometimes we just mess stuff up.
That is so true. Yes, we do. That just means we need people, right? We can't do it by ourselves.
Exactly. We can't live without our posse. But I wanted to start the conversation off because I know you've got so much good information. And first of all, just sort of tell everybody a little bit about yourself and how you got to the point as to where you are now in your life and especially motivating and helping women.
Okay, great. Well, I am an associate pastor. I work, currently I'm employed, Crossover Church in Hyattsville, Maryland. And I've actually been in ministry for over 25 years. So in addition to being in ministry, probably somewhere in maybe 10, 15 years of that, I began to started a nonprofit organization, Victoria's Living Now Ministries. And the nonprofit is an organization for mentoring women. And then recently in the last 5 years, we launched another arm of that organization to mentor teen and young girls. And so that's been pretty powerful. And how I came way of being a certified life coach back in 2006, introduced and worked with a woman and went through their organization and become certified as a life coach. And so the passion for me, honestly, that is working with women and young girls really just stems from my own life. And so I think as you and I were talking even at the conference, just growing up, and seeing so often the trouble that as women and young women in particular we can get into and how important it is to have somebody really come alongside of you. And so maybe you've made some blunders, you made some mistakes, you know, you made a lot of wrong turns, and really those wrong turns can cost you, and you can stay in a place for a very long time if you don't have anybody to kind of come alongside and really help and point you to show you that there's a different direction, there's better things in life for you. And so when I look back over my own journey, particularly even now, being a life coach, and the motto really is to help women to break through and be free so that they can fulfill their assignment. Because particularly as women, there are a lot of things that can happen and cause us to be stuck. And before you know it, we're talking about what we wanted to do. We're talking about what we wish we could do. We're talking about what we should have been able to do.
Yeah.
And years and times have passed, and we're still stuck maybe because of some of the emotional challenges, the mental challenges, the relational challenges. And so I'm that person that comes alongside and helps women to get moving so they can do their assignment.
And, you know, I was thinking when you make the commitment to do what it is that you do, whether it's being in the ministry, a life coach, you know, you really interject and immerse yourself into folks' life. Because to do what you do, I just feel like you can't do it halfway. Either you're going to do it or you're not going to do it.
So true. So true. And then, you know, that's because people need that. What good would it be to, as you said, to jump into something halfway when many people are already challenged to begin with? So if you're not going to step in and give it your all, then I agree with you. There's no sense even getting involved in the first place.
Well, fast forward a little bit, and thanks for all that good information, and start talking about your message and what you want to talk about tonight.
Okay, great. The thing tonight is that when I mentioned to you, particularly in this story, it's encompassing my story and a lot of women's story, but the topic, when life takes a detour to keep driving. And one of the things I was saying to you even before the show is many times if you think about the natural and the spiritual, and the natural, when you're driving along and you come to a detour, some signs in the road that are saying turn left, road closed, under construction, the first time, many times when we hit a detour, what's the first thing we want to do? We don't want to
stop.
We want to stop, right.
Yeah.
We get frustrated. Some of us pretty much maybe will even quit for the evening. You know, we started off so passionate about getting to a particular place, and then before you know it, that detour has set us back, and with that setback, we find ourselves just saying, you know what, maybe it's not worth it. Well, when I think about that in the natural, likewise in our lives, there are detours. There are unforeseen things or things that happen in life that deviate us from the course that we were on. And it can be a diversion, if you will. You know, you didn't expect it. You didn't see it coming. And that detour could show up in your health. It can show up in your finances, your career, being a job loss. It can show up in relationships. Maybe there's some type of misunderstanding or something that's caused a rift in a relationship. For some, that could be a detour happens in life when divorce happens. You know, you've been married to the love of your life, and, you know, as far as you could see, things have been going wonderful, and then you look up one day, and he says he's not in love with you anymore, and he wants to divorce you. And so as painful as those things are, those are challenges that come up. You get a report from a doctor, you know, you're doing everything you know, you're eating right, you're exercising every day, and then you get this negative report from the doctor. You didn't see that coming. So you're going on course in your life, and then there's something where you detour off, you know. And so the whole objective is, how do you keep driving when these things happen, Victoria?
Yeah, and you know it is interesting because as you say that, I'm just kind of having a flashback of my life, and I can think of really offhand about five or six detours that I had, and I always remember when I had problems like that, there were two things that I would always do. I grew up going to the church, so I knew I needed to get on my knees and pray.
Okay.
I would always pray about it, and then I would always talk to my grandmother about it. And my grandmother would always tell me the same thing. You know, she would say, honey, this too shall pass. And, you know, whether it's a month from now or 3 months from now, you know, time is always going to move forward. Things are always going to change. Nothing stays still. So whether you want it, whether you don't want it to change, you have no control over that because, you know, certainly tomorrow is not promised, but tomorrow is going to come. So you've got to get up and go to work. You've got to feed yourself. I mean, you have to kind of do those things. But it is amazing how, you know, there are some people that, you know, whether it's personality-wise or different situations, can really get stuck on that road and then just kind of stop.
Absolutely. And the fortunate thing, as you said, I think two things in your story is that prayer must always be a priority. But I love the fact that you had someone there who was able to give you accurate information, but not just mm-hmm. that you had someone there that was able to give you accurate information, you were open to receive it.
Okay.
And the reason
okay.
why that is so important is because when those kind of obstacles and challenges happen in our life, and as stated earlier, either many times we're unwilling to fight and move forward, but most times people are willing to just take flight. And then when you begin to want to just avoid it and not deal with it, in a period of time, it's amazing how despair and hopelessness can set in. And when that sets in, you really don't become receptive to the voice that will say to you, as you just said, this too will pass. Why? Because at this point, this is all I see in front of me. So the reason many women can get stuck is because someone is sitting there and they're saying, but you're not going through what I'm going through. So for you to tell me this too will pass, when this is bigger than life right now for me.
Right.
And that's how many people end up getting stuck there, because that's all they can see. They can't see beyond. That statement your grandmother gave you, this too will pass, that suggests that you've got to look beyond your present.
Where you are.
You see what I'm saying? Beyond where
you
are to now having an expectation for something good in your future.
Yeah, and it's interesting when you say that, because now that I'm thinking about my own personal experiences when things went wrong, or if they go wrong, I actually don't really think that I've actually been able to fast forward in my brain and see ahead. So it is important that you have somebody who can kind of do that for you and kind of, you know, verbally say that, so that even if you're not thinking about it, you can start to think about it.
Absolutely. I mean, I think without that, it would probably astound you that I can talk to some women today, and maybe an incident has happened, let's say 5 years. I'll just start there. 5 years in their past, and they can talk to you about it as if it just happened.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
Give you all the details and everything as though it just happened. And so, you know, that's why I think one of the things that is so important about encouraging people to keep driving, and one question that often comes up when I tell someone, okay, you know, when life takes a detour, keep driving. And this is the first two questions that most people will say to me. Well, how can I keep driving? How can I keep driving when I don't know how I'm going to get through this, and that's whatever this is.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how things are going to turn out. Okay, and then secondly, the question that comes up is, why should I keep driving when I don't feel like dealing with what just happened to me? Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so at that point, it's like somebody saying keep driving, but as you just said, you didn't really have a vision, if you will, for the future at that time. And I think that's what can impede us from the mindset of getting it back in there and saying, no, but I got to keep going forward, because right now I don't see beyond the devastation of what has just happened to me. I've lost my job, and how am I going to now support my family? I'm ill now. You know, what does this mean? And so immediately it's like that takes up the screen of life. And
so just the
simple words of someone saying, keep driving, as you said, your grandmother, you know, things won't always be this way. It takes a lot of courage to be able to take that and to believe. And it also takes having faith in something bigger than your circumstances, bigger than the situation.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that's the significance of having a relationship with God, to be perfectly honest with you, because it's bigger.
It's bigger, yeah. I mean, there is no situation that's not too big or too small that God can't handle, right? It's just
absolutely.
Interesting. Wow. Really, really good stuff. I want to pause just for a second and to thank Pastor Evans. We've got a lot of guests, and I'm sure these are your church members, your family, your friends that are visiting us right now inside the chat room. So I want to acknowledge the guests and say, if this is your first time visiting us on At Home with Victoria, thank you. I'm a television journalist. I've been in the news business for 18 years, worked mostly at ABC affiliates, And Pastor kind of went out on a limb and saw that social networking was going to be pretty big and decided that this was something that I wanted to do. I tried to keep it a secret and didn't tell people 3 years ago that I was doing the show. That lasted all of about a month. So we have I've gone from one show to, I think, 285 shows that I've done, and we're blessed to have over 480-some thousand people during the time that we've been on the air that have listened to at least one or two of our shows. So I just wanted to kind of put that out there if you were wondering, who in the world is my pastor talking to, and how did all this come about? So just again, I'm very happy that you would allow her to be here with me this evening and also to spread this wonderful information. And, you know, I was also thinking about you today, Pastor, as I do a lot when I'm thinking about women's issues now since I've met you, is that it's always amazing to me because the more and more women are making gains, whether it's within society, work, family, your jobs, you know, your church or, you know, whatever avenue that may be. I was talking to a few young ladies at an event that I had to go to, and I was telling this one young lady that there was a guy who owned his own company that I wanted him to meet, you know, just for professional reasons. And it was real funny to me because she actually said to me, well, I've got to get up enough courage in order to meet him. And I thought, you have got to be kidding me. And this is a young lady who's articulate, you know, who's gone to college, who's smart. And that really kind of threw me for a loop. Now, she probably could have been joking or she may not have, but it just kind of threw me for, you know, for a loop that even still this day and age that we as women, you know, that I don't want to say that we don't always value ourselves, but perhaps we don't even know what we are worth.
I think both of those statements are accurate. We don't always value ourselves, and equally we do not know what we are worth. And thus, when we don't have value for ourselves, we often look for someone else to give us that value and to validate us. It's almost like, let me do whatever I can to make sure that when I make this interest or I make this appearance, that I'm accepted, that I'm embraced, that I'm liked. And so I agree with you on both points there.
I want to say hi to, it looks like Valerie McDowell is inside the chat room. If I actually have an actual name of a person, I like to acknowledge them and to say again, thank you so much for joining our conversation with Pastor Evans tonight. Pastor Evans, I do want to get back to our conversation, but I also want to mention, I want you to tell us about your website, and also you've got a book that's out and you're working on other books. So let's talk about that real quick.
Sure. Everyone can reach me at www.deborahevans.org. And I think, Victoria, when we met, I had two books at the conference. One book, First Things First, Practical Steps to Victorious Living. So if anyone is just interested in knowing how to have some basic steps to moving forward to living a life of victory, First Things First would be a great resource for you. You can find it on the website. And also I had a mini book, mini in size, but definitely not mini in content, Faith for Your Journey. And this book is a powerful resource that people just kind of keep in their purse with them because, again, as you think about the obstacles and things that we will face that will come upon us unexpectedly, we need to be able to have faith to keep on going in spite of whatever is happening in our life. And that book, actually, Faith for the Journey, for me, what's so significant about that is probably now, oh, gosh, I want to say maybe 8 years ago, that book was actually birthed out of a surgery that had happened in my life. I was contending with some things and didn't really know what was going on, and one thing led to the next. And by the time I saw, like, three specialists, it was at really a top 10 at that point. We were on alarm. A doctor was out of the country, had saw my test results and said, tell this woman to get to my office in 2 days. I need to do surgery on her immediately. And so having dealt with this particular challenge at the moment, you know, you always hear people talk about faith to get stuff. Oh, I got faith for this and faith for that. And one revelation that God gave me back then was, we don't just simply need faith for more stuff. We need faith to live every day. We need faith to just live, you know, to get from this mm-hmm. day to the next day, and that it's not always about how can I have faith to have more of this and more stuff.
Material things. How do I have faith to live?
Right, just how can I have faith to live? And so that's where Faith for the Journey came from. So thank you for that, Victoria.
Well, I'm going to have to make sure that I get me a copy, and it certainly sounds like it's something that, and I like that it's the size that you can put inside a purse. Because sometimes, you know, when we're out in, during the day or out and about at our jobs and communities and doing things and, you know, something irks our nerves, it's great to have a book like that you can just open up and start reading and then immediately change your mindset and your thought process of what you want to do. But, again, if you are just joining us, thank you so much for being here on At Home with Victoria. We are discussing when life takes a detour. Keep driving, and that's sort of what Pastor Evans is focusing on tonight, and also the unexpected challenges and obstacles that that we all face. So I want to get back into that that conversation. So what I mean are there other things that you know we as women and I guess and people in general can do when you know when we do hit that detour?
Absolutely. There are several things I would like to suggest, time permitting, and so I'm going to just kind of start with a couple, and if you want to stop me, that's great. So one of the things, a few things that I suggest to the question, how do I keep driving? And I want to back up a bit because the one question that I want to answer is when I made the statement that some people wonder, why should I keep driving? The thought here is this, whatever you and I were in pursuit of, prior to the detour or obstacle happening in our life, it was worth it then. It was meaningful, and it had purpose. Okay? I'll say that again. Whatever we were in pursuit of prior to the detour or the obstacle or challenge that has come our way, whatever we were dealing with, it was worth it, it was meaningful, and it had purpose. So often we allow the obstacles or the detours and challenges to redefine the purpose, okay? Now, all of a sudden, it seems that all of that is lost when, if you think about it, before this detour or obstacle came, that's the path we were on anyway, right?
Right, yeah.
You know, we were on a path pursuing purpose. We were on a path that we considered to be a meaningful life. And so why now should it cease to have meaning and cease to have purpose? And so how do we keep driving? The first thing I always say is we need to regroup.
Mm-hmm.
And the significance of regrouping is that we get real about what has actually just happened to us. Okay? So it's happened. The challenge has come. Maybe the bottom has fell out in the relationship. You lost your job. You got a bad report. Okay, so now let's just pause and get connected to that, acknowledge what has happened in our life, and I will add to this, acknowledging and getting real with what has happened doesn't necessarily mean that we ask why it has happened. And the reason that is so important, Victoria, is because there's some detours that will happen in your life, in my life, and in our listeners' life that we really won't have answers for.
Okay.
Okay, so does that make sense there?
Yeah, it does. It does.
You know, because
I did want to ask one question in there. So
yes,
when something comes up, let's say for example there's a divorce or there's a death in the family, and I'm thinking about the grieving process, because I tend to think that grieving is actually a good thing. Like sometimes if I'm upset about something and I feel like I want to cry. Like, I love to cry because it releases something out of me. So talk a little bit about in that process that, you know, grieving, whether that it's okay whether you're grieving the loss of a relationship, to allow yourself to feel that. Because I really think that helps you, that's a part of life, and it helps you get through things.
Absolutely. And Victoria, I will add to that because from regroup, the second thing that I always suggest is to release. And so that's good. So that was a great setup right there. So you regroup, you take a bit, you get real with what has just happened, then you have to release, and you gotta let go of some things. Whether, as you said, it's the pain, the hurt, whether there's anger, there's fear, and I strongly agree that grief is an absolute healthy process. As a matter of fact, I highly recommend it. Mm-hmm. When anything of devastation, anything, as you mentioned, those two areas, divorce or death in a family, if we push a pause button and suggest or mask the pain, the anger, or whatever the emotion is that we feel there, it's only going to be a matter of time that we will have to deal with that. And I will add to that, that is another way that people get stuck in a place. So fast forward 5 years, 6 years, 7 years, 10 years, they can still talk about that situation as though it had happened yesterday because they never allowed themselves to feel it, to experience it, to live it, and to go through it.
Interesting. Gotcha. Interesting. Good stuff. Wow. Really, really, really good stuff. Yeah. And again, we're talking with mighty and powerful Pastor Deborah Evans, who is joining us from Crossover Church, which is located in Hyattsville, Maryland. I have all of your information and about the book and where folks can find it inside the chat room. And when we're done with the show, I will post it on my Twitter and through all my social networking information so you guys can actually go ahead and find it. You know, something else I was thinking about, which may slightly be a little bit off topic in this discussion with women, but I was thinking just from the point of view as a journalist and having the opportunity for 17 to 18 years to cover, you know, so many news events, good, happy, bad, sad, city council meetings, you know, national stories, whatever, community stories on big and larger scales. And I was thinking it's amazing with all the technology in the world. And there's a young lady who attends a church, Main Street, when I worked in the Midwest, and I remember her saying to me that the world is getting wiser but weaker. And for some reason, that always stuck with me because I think about all the technology and all the advances that we make, you know, as the human race. But then there's so many things about us that we just still don't get right. You know, we just still don't get a lot of things right. And that was kind of on my mind today also, just because I knew that you were coming on here. So this is sort of a curveball and a detour as our discussion that we're talking about. But if you could just talk a little bit about, you know, in context of how, you know, all of this wonderful technology and all the things that we have and material things and all of that stuff. But really, at the end of the day, it really is about, you know, your faith, getting on your knees and basically, you know, knowing who your Savior is.
Absolutely. And the statement you just made about being wiser but being weaker, it actually reminded me of a verse because, as you said, although there's a lot of technology and a lot of things at people's fingertips today and you can just go to the Internet for just about anything, the reality is life apart from God is no life. God mm-hmm. is our creator. He is the one who created mankind. So understand something. It is from him that we get the blueprint on how to live life in this highly fast-paced technological world.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
one of the things that I find interesting in the statement you made about wiser and weaker is just because we are exposed to more things, it's really all about, at the end of the day, Victoria, the truth that you and I really know. It reminds me of the scripture that says the truth shall set you free. And so, you know, we're in the age where everything is being presented as truth and there's information
yeah.
on every side, okay?
Yes.
But do you understand that as quick as we can get our hands on that, it will mean nothing to us unless it is a truth that you and I actually own and actually embrace? It just will mean
that's,
we've
yeah.
just been exposed to more information. That's all.
That's true. And it's funny that you say that because especially in my business as a journalist and when you interview people, you know, it really doesn't matter what the subject matter is. I really have come to find that the Internet is very powerful and it's great, but at the same time, it can really just suck because you can go on the Internet and find whatever you believe, what, like you said, your quote-unquote truth is to be. Anybody can go on the Internet and find a fancy-looking website, you know, a slick-looking WordPress, that somebody is, you know, saying they've got all of these credentials to do this and to do that. So it just, it amazes me now how, you know, basically everybody has their own version of what they believe truth to be. I mean, I remember when I was growing up, you know, and it's hard to explain, but truth was truth, whether it was a good truth or it was a bad truth. It was the truth. Like, I walked outside and I saw the sky. That's true. So it is amazing how things now, you know, everybody wants to argue what is the truth
Absolutely.
And rewrite history and all this craziness. So,
Absolutely.
Like I said, I didn't mean to throw that at you, but for some reason that was so much on my mind today as I was thinking about you. So I guess I probably inadvertently wanted your thoughts and to see what you thought about
that. I appreciate
that.
You know what I like about what you said, though? You said when you were growing up, truth was truth. Can I tell you something? Truth is still truth. It's just most people don't realize that yet. And so that's why those of us who know the truth, and I mean really know the truth to the point that the truth that we know embodies how we live, embodies how we think, embodies the decisions that we make, then understand we become a mirror so that those who think they have a form of truth can actually become exposed to the truth of God that dwells on the inside of us. So truth is still truth.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, that I am very, very happy to know that that is the truth.
Most definitely, most definitely.
I'm so happy to know that. Hey, guys, if you're just joining us again, thank you so much for taking the time to join us on At Home with Victoria. Pastor Evans and I just completely hit it off when we were sitting at the table and I had to MC a program and introduce her. And, Pastor, it's funny because I don't normally get nervous if I have to MC. I mean, I've been doing this my whole life. And I remember when you were sitting at the table and I remember kind of glancing over there, sort of giving you the look down to sort of say, think to myself, oh, man, I hope she's really nice because, you know, sometimes pastors can really intimidate you. And then as soon as I sat down and we started talking, I mean, I was just so relieved and just, you know, not that I was thinking anything weird or anything, but I just thought, man, like she's so awesome. Like she's a pastor and she's just so approachable and awesome. So I just wanted to tell you that that was one of my initial observations when I had the first, you know, time meeting you.
Oh, thank you. We had a ball, and I'm just so honored for this opportunity to be with you this evening because we've done a lot of emailing, and I really sincerely look forward to an opportunity where we get to meet again. So I know that's going to happen, but we hit it off, and we were there laughing and talking like we had known each other for years.
I know. You know what I would love for you to come back, and I know your schedule is busy, so we'll play that game and email each other and finally nail it down like we did today. But you and I had a very, very special discussion, and I'm not going to really get into it, but you probably remember when we had a discussion about our mothers.
Absolutely.
And that discussion, it's amazing because although I'm a journalist and I talk a lot, I don't always talk about myself. I mean, there's certain things that I, you know, will publicly talk about, but there's certain things that I just don't really talk about. And that was really, I want to say, the first or second time that I really had that long conversation at all with anybody. So that was special to me that you, you know, made me feel comfortable that I could say the things that I said. But ever since that conversation, I've been talking to just so many different women from different, you know, backgrounds, races, and that lived in different places of your age and my age that had that same discussion about our mothers growing up that you and I had. So what I would really like for you to do the next time we book a date is for us to have a discussion and focus on mothers and, you know, sort of women our age and the relationships that we had with our mothers growing up when we were kids and teenagers versus the relationship that we have now. Because back then, and I'll throw one thing out there just to tease you guys, we had talked about how, you know, how our mothers back then didn't necessarily hug us all the time and say they loved us. I mean, I think we kind of knew it because they took care of us, but that wasn't their thing back then. But now it's very common for kids to say, Mom, I love you, or, you know, for your kids to hug you. So we were talking about how happy I would see that generational thing has changed and sort of made a jump that I always see kids and my niece and nephews telling, you know, their mom and dads and aunts and uncles and friends. Hey, I love you, man. Stay strong. See you later. And literally embracing and hugging each other. So I think that would be a really great conversation because I think it would help a lot of people.
I agree, and I'd love to join you again. I think it will be.
I think so, too. Well, I promised you 30 minutes, and I've taken up over 30 minutes. So, but I don't like our guests to leave without sort of rounding out if there is anything else that, you know, that you wanted to say before you got off the air, just to kind of summarize, then go for it.
Definitely. Ladies, how do I keep driving? Regroup, release, refocus. Refocus on the journey ahead. Refocus on your purpose and the assignment that you have before you. Lastly, reposition and restart. Be willing to turn the key of life again. One of my favorite verses in Romans 8:28, God causes all things to work together for good for those who love him and are called. All means all. So I would suggest to you when life takes a detour, don't do what you've been prone to do, throw in the towel, quit, turn around, stop, but keep driving. Keep driving because the God who saw the detour long before you experienced it is the same God who has an incredible plan for your life on the other side of that detour. God bless you.
Absolutely wonderful. Pastor, again, thank you so much for taking the time to be here with us, and thank you for all of your guests that you brought along to the show tonight, and for everyone in the DMV, the Washington, Baltimore, Maryland area, and Virginia that listened to you tonight, and also for just all the women across the U.S. that follow At Home with Victoria and kind of follow me and believe what I do is the right thing. So I just want to thank you. And again, ladies, I promise you, it took us 3 months to get this date, but I don't think it's going to take us that long to nail another date down to get Pastor Deborah Evans back on. But I put all of her website information as well as her WordPress information inside the chat. We'll post it on Twitter and all of our accounts. So I really encourage you guys to check out her book, and the price is crazy reasonable. You can probably get a cup of coffee for the price that you will pay for a book, trust me. So check that out and support her literature and get it into not only your hands, but I think the hands of your friends and family members and also girlfriends. So, Pastor, God bless. And, again, thank you so much, and I'll be in touch with you very soon.
Thanks, Victoria. Good talking to you.
Good talking to you as well. Again, everybody, Pastor Deborah Evans, who is joining us tonight on At Home with Victoria. So Michael and I are back on the air. I want to say next week, I believe it's on Tuesday, that he and I are back on the air, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. But until then, I would like to end the show with, you know, some nice music. I think I'll pick Anna Johnson Someday. I think that's quite fitting for our conversation tonight. Good night, everybody, and we'll see you back here next week.
Oh, not your average, everyday kind of girl. She walks along alone on the highway, opens up her guitar case to sing. Glad to meet you, here I am. She says sometimes when it rains I cancel my plans, catch all the drops in my hands, listen to the beat, beat, bada beat, beat. Life can be so sweet. Yeah, 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 yeah. Magazines with torn up pages, old jeans with holes. She's worn for days, but who cares? It's okay.
been listening to At Home with Victoria, an interactive news and entertainment show on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Download us on iTunes as a free podcast and like us on Facebook. I'm Shelley Rand, musician and announcer for At Home with Victoria. Download my CD on iTunes and Amazon and friend me on Facebook.